And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies with my co-host Carlos, who has a... Is that a new team poster? I'm assuming it is from last year.
Yeah, it was the most recent one. I forgot I had that here. My apartment's terribly messy. Not anymore, but it was there. James, how's everything going down in Bradenton, Florida these days?
Yeah, it's going well, other than apparently we are going to get some not so nice weather this week. I guess we'll see exactly how that turns out over the course of the week. But in the meantime, folks, we have some great stuff going on tonight. Yeah. Carlos, you and I are going to talk about the recent signing announced by the Tampa Bay, the most recent signing announced by the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And we have an interview with a former Rowdy. If you have not read the description of this and you don't know who that is, then I just won't say it, but also you probably have already read it. So
it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise for you.
A surprise for anybody who has started listening in the background of your car while you're driving, who put it on and knows who's coming up. Yeah. Let's get into the first thing here. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform, all that stuff you guys know. Follow us at RBLR Sports and all the social medias, whatever you use. Let's get into the news. The Rowdies have signed former Rowdy player Lawrence Wyke to a contract in 2025. I don't know if there is an option for afterwards. I guess we will obviously have to see. But he is back for us in 2025. Carlos, how are you feeling about this one?
Huge, huge. I'm feeling great. This is a big signing. It's a signing, like regardless of it being Lawrence Wyke, we have a player signed, which is great. Mm-hmm. Because that hasn't been the case in going on 2 months now. There hadn't been a roster announcement. That was Forrest last day we came back to this team. Lawrence Wyke making his way back to the Tampa Bay Rowdies. You'll recall he played 57 games for us across two seasons, had a quick two game loan from Nashville, before ending up in Huntsville City and playing a full season for Phoenix Rising in 2024. The fans out there loved him. They had great things to say about him, had a great season over there, really settled into the back line role that we saw him take up on the back half of his Rowdies career. If you recall, he started off as kind of like a defensive midfielder, a more central midfield, and started to settle into that back line role as the season went on. Got very, very good at that. He's going to be a huge, huge piece on this back line that already includes Forrest Lasso and Aaron Guillen. And we're bringing in someone who's played with both of those folks already. So chemistry is already there. And you're bringing in a player who has proven talent on the back line, some good size and that like outside back three role at 6'1". Like this is going to be a great, great addition to this team. We already know what he's capable of. It's very obvious to the Rowdies fan who's seen how we like to play our game that those outside backs of the back three like to get up a bit like Aaron Guillen does. Lawrence Wyke is someone who can do that, who can move the ball well. And you put him in a position on a corner, he can even rip in a shot from outside the box. So this guy has plenty of talent on the back line, and he can even contribute in the attack every once in a while, even from the center back role. So this is great, James. This is great on so many levels. I'm super glad he's back. It's always nice when you can bring back someone who's already familiar with the culture of the team, already familiar with the folks around him. Chemistry is already there, so it's plug and play for him.
Yep, it is. I think that it is also plug and play in the sense that right now we are missing the right-sided player of that back three, assuming that we continue with the back three. It would presumably have been Aaron Guillen, Forrest Lasso, Jordan Doherty, who followed Neil Collins, unfortunately, to Raith Rovers. And in the meantime, we did not have somebody immediately ready to step into that spot. I think Lawrence Wyke does the job perfectly, not only because of the things that you mentioned, but he did previously play as a midfielder. He is comfortable on the ball. He can carry it forward like Aaron Guillen has, like Jordan Doherty has, and like he himself has in the past. So I think that that's a good part of this. And there's the one other aspect that I would just highlight really quickly, which is his versatility. If we need him to play in other positions in a pinch, he has done that and he did it pretty well. I think that's positive. The Rowdies, every single season, experience some type of emergency with injuries. Some type of crisis happens. Yeah. At least we'll have Lawrence Weich, who can play a couple of those positions, provided he's not one of them who is actually out injured. So I'm pretty happy with this signing, and I think this is gonna help us a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I'm ecstatic. We go out, get a couple depth pieces for the back line now, go out and get someone who can stop the ball with their hands as a goalie, obviously. We're in pretty good shape. So looking ahead to the rest of the offseason, I'm thinking a lot of depth pieces incoming. Some folks that might be able to compete for a starting spot, but especially need to go out and get a name at the goalie spot. So Lawrence Weich, fantastic news this week. So it was great stuff, James. I'm really, really excited about this. I can't really think of someone that I would rather have back there right now, looking at like backline free agents in the USL market. This is a really, really great pickup.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, Carlos, do we have anything else with Lawrence Weich before we get into our interview?
Not that comes to the top of my head right now, James. I'm so excited to jump into this interview. It was a great conversation with, like you said, a former Rowdy that you probably already read about in the title of the podcast. So I don't feel bad saying his name. Sebastian Dahlgaard coming back, joining us for an interview. It's fantastic stuff. He played his last season in 23. This is a guy who has played over 100 games for the Rowdies. Mm-hmm. Just a great, great run with this club. Saw the conference finals, right? The final that never happened against Phoenix. Some of these legendary games against Louisville. Like, he's been in all of them. Scored a banger against Oakland that still sticks in my head to this day. And is now, James, like we'll talk about in a little bit, is now in the coaching world down at IMG in Bradenton. So he's getting a feel for the coaching world now, and just a really, really great person to chat with.
Yep. He is, I'm just looking forward to it. Before we do that, quickly want to throw out a shameless plug for the RBLR Sports Shop. Liking and subscribing is free, but if you think you need some new threads for this year, 2025, maybe you want to change things up, you can support our podcast while you do that by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com, checking out all the designs we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description, of course. And if you want to use the promo code COYR, you will get 10% off of your order. Why not use that promo code? It's there for you to use it. And here we are, everyone, with our promised former Rowdy, Sebastian Dahlgaard. He has joined us tonight, very graciously taking up some of his time away from coaching. Seb, very first question, very simple. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. And thank you guys so much for having me on the podcast. I'm super excited for this. So thank you, guys.
We are obviously always very excited to speak with a Rowdy, former or current. It really doesn't matter. It is always a very good perspective that we are provided. So I will just say, for anyone unfamiliar with Sebastian Dahlgaard, he has made over 100 appearances for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, originally from Denmark, moved to the U.S. to play with Oklahoma City, who we hope, fingers crossed, will be back in the USL in the near future. And then ultimately joined the Rowdies, like I said, made over 100 appearances. So, Seb, I don't want to take up too much time with my own interpretation of your history. Like I said before, it'll sound like me reading your transfer market. Let me turn it over to you and give you a little bit of room to tell people exactly what your background is in soccer and how you came to join the Rowdies ultimately.
Like so many other professional players, I obviously started when I was a very young kid, probably around 5 years old. I was lucky enough to have a dad that played professional as well in Denmark, and kind of got into it in that way. But speed it up a little bit. I think when I was 17, I think I signed my first professional contract in Denmark, playing over there in the first division. And I think I played until I was 23 in Denmark, and kind of just, I always love to travel. I always love to kind of get out and see the world, and get a sense of different cultures and different foods and different visions and all this that you get with traveling. So by the age of 23, I've played so long in Denmark that I felt like I kind of knew almost every referee. I knew all of the stadiums. I knew all of the players. And keep in mind that Denmark is a very, very small country. Mm-hmm, we are only like 5 million people there, right? It takes like 4 hours to go from one side to the other, which is a big contrast to playing in America.
Certainly.
So at 23, I was living by myself in Copenhagen and also playing in Copenhagen. And I got a call from one of my agents about this Danish coach that wanted me to come to America and play. The Danish coach was Jimmy Nielsen. And the crazy story was that I read this former professional player called David Nielsen, his biography. I read his book. And in this book, Jimmy Nielsen is heavily mentioned in this book. And it's not for all of the good stuff that everybody would have thought. It's not for bad stuff in any way in that sense. But it was a lot about like a lot of locker room things and stuff. And there was a lot of gambling involved. And there was a lot of craziness involved with the with the way soccer and the soccer culture in Europe kind of was back in the day, right? He mentioned some of the crazy gang in Wimbledon. I don't know if you guys have heard about them before. Right?
Yeah,
Vinnie Jones and some of these guys.
They are they are pretty infamous.
Very, yes. And so there's a bunch of stories about that. But it was just funny to me because it was like a month before he called me up. I was reading this book and there was so much about Jimmy Nielsen. I obviously knew him from the national team because he was a goalie there for a little bit. But yeah, he called me up and he said, "Hey, how do you feel like coming to America and play some soccer?" And at this point, I don't think I had watched a single MLS game. I didn't really know anything about the landscape of soccer in America. Really, I knew about basketball, football, and all these other more bigger sports at the time. But yeah, so he called me up and asked me to come over, and I was just I packed my bags honestly right away, and I was just so ready for this experience, and I was kind of happy to have another Danish player kind of joining me at the time, Danny Koenig, which is also a very almost a legendary player in the USL at this time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went over there. We played 2 years together in OKC. And for me, it was a great experience. It was so different from what I was used to. Like from traveling in Europe, going to Italy, France, and all of these different places, and then coming to a place like Oklahoma City was just such a big culture shock for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also in many good ways, because people were also different and people were very, very like, "Hey, how are you doing? And how is this?" And everybody was always trying to talk to you and kind of, you know, in Europe, we're more like, look, we don't want to talk too much. It's strangers.
I've heard that.
A little bit more
that.
Held back, right? So that was something like I really, really liked that. And it's something that has changed me as a person, where I'm also a little bit more outgoing now and kind of like talking a little bit more to people around me and kind of making sure everybody is doing all right. But yeah, I played 2 years there. I think after the second year, I kind of started missing a little bit more of a city community, able to walk around and do a little bit more in the local community and not being so car dependent about everything, because I think that was one of my biggest struggles going to America, was being so car dependent.
Sure.
But yeah, I got a really good offer from St. Louis FC at the time, before they joined the MLS side, and it was a good experience, but it was also a tough experience for me. I think St. Louis was probably one of the years where I learned the most about myself as a professional player, but also a little bit more about how tough it also can be to play in the USL.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a very tough league to play in. I had Preki as the coach. I don't know if you guys know Preki.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You probably do. I feel like I mentioned him to a lot of people, but they don't know who he is. And I felt like he was such a big big time coach at the time because he played for Everton, he played in the Premier League, and he played in. Did he play for the national team?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He did, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a big coach, and he wanted me to come over there, but I just never really felt at home in St. Louis. I think maybe the way they ran the club was a little bit weird to me. I didn't really at any point feel part of what we were doing, like part of a mission. Like what are we even doing? Right. You know? So I played there for a year, and at that time I was kind of ready to go back to Europe again and play a little bit back home, get closer to the family. So I actually moved back in 2018 and played a second division Danish team, kind of fighting for a promotion, going up to the first division. Enjoyed that, but there was still something that I felt like I haven't proved in America at that time. I felt like I was a really, really good player for OKC. We made the final, the Western Conference final. I'm not sure if we were in the East the second year or the West, because we were always on that tip of going either East or West. but we went to the Western semi-final the second year, and it was just there was a good support about everything, and I felt like there was something in OKC. There was like a really good fan group, it was a good run club, and it was just there was a good feeling about it. So when I came to St. Louis, it's just a little bit different, but
yeah,
I just felt like there must be something else. There's a lot of clubs here, there's a lot of cities I haven't seen. I would have loved to go to California and kind of try living over there a little bit, but it never happened, whatever. So played a year in Denmark, and then I got another offer from the same coach that was the coach in OKC at the time. He was Hartford Athletic now, Jimmy Nielsen. And I signed up there, and I really, really enjoyed my time up there. I only played a year until it was a good year. It was a really good year for me playing up there. But collectively and as a team, it was not a good year. And it's kind of also where it was a brand new team, right? It was their first season in the USL. And it's kind of where you see how much was missing from these clubs that some of these other clubs just have engraved into their like culture or into their history of their club, some of them, right? Especially the Rowdies. Like that's where I really felt that, where I was like, okay, this team has, there's some culture around this. There's some history here. There's something to fight for more than just each game. There's something like really engraved into it. So it was a good year in Hartford. I enjoyed living up there. It was beautiful nature and whatnot. And we were close to New York. We can go to New York. I like visiting different cities and Boston and whatnot. But I felt like when I kind of touched down in Tampa, and when I went with the Rowdies, it was a different feeling. It was just like, okay, here is like something maybe a little bit more European about this, because there's this history like I talked about, and you don't really feel that as much with a lot of it, because soccer is also new in America, isn't it? Like a lot of teams, they come up here and there, and some teams they move from city to city and whatnot. It's just a little bit of a different feeling, but I really, really enjoyed landing with the Rowdies. And Neil Collins and Lee Cohen, the GM at the time, was, I think Lee Cohen has probably been my favorite GM I've had almost my whole playing career. He was just so personal about things. He connected with the players, and you can see the success that Charleston has at the moment is 100% also something that he has a part of playing that. So, absolutely. Yeah. Then obviously last November it was time for me to kind of stop playing and look in a different direction.
But, gotcha. Well, we definitely want to talk about what your post-Rowdies career looks like and what the future looks like. And before I turn it over to Carlos, I do have one quick question for you, and then I'll let him get into his thing, because he's got a couple of questions here lined up. But I just wanted to know, you said that you were reading a book that included a lot of passages about Jimmy Nielsen pretty much right before you had ultimately or he had gotten in touch with you. So did he reach out to you specifically from, how did he get in touch with you specifically? Had your careers crossed paths before, or did you have a shared agent? What was the connection there?
I think it was a shared agent, actually. He's from a different generation than I was. I saw briefly some games with him, like playing in a goalie. And I mean, for me, I never really looked at goalies too much. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an attacking player. I started as a striker, right? I was playing more as a wingback towards the end of my career, especially with the Rowdies. But I've always been a striker, attacker. I always wanted to kind of dribble and go attack, score some goals and stuff. So I never really was too concerned about goalies and stuff. Gotcha. I never really looked too much at it, right? I love goalies. It's the goalkeeper union and all of that. But no, it wasn't really anything I looked at. I knew him because of some other stories maybe that came out with the news and stuff. But yeah, it was just different kind of reading it in a book. And like, sure. Seeing exactly what these guys have done and all of these different things. I don't want to get too much into it, and maybe he doesn't want it to get out and whatnot, but it was just it was some funny stories, and it was so surreal almost to just have him on the phone like a month later after I read all of this stuff that was going down. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a very funny story. A lot of weird things that work out that way. But
Carlos, right. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Carlos, I will turn it over to you now to keep us going with our questions.
Yeah. Sebastian, I want to talk about that first season with the Rowdies as well, because you got here at, to put it lightly, a chaotic time, right? 2020, in the full swing of COVID, right? And you get here and by this point, you're familiar with the USL, right? You've had a couple stints with OKC and St. Louis and Hartford. So you obviously had the firsthand experience of what a regular season was like. On top of transitioning to a new team, can you tell me about just how you felt that 2020 season went? I mean, obviously you got to the final and we had that, you know, nightmare end of the season where you couldn't play the final, which to this day, I think haunts so many people. But just tell us a little bit about that first season, because just what a time to join a new team. Yeah, come to a new place like Tampa Bay in the middle of the COVID season. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that was like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hectic, kind of just looking back. I don't really think about it anymore and all of this COVID and what was going on and stuff. But now when we are talking about it, it's like there was so much going on, because after I didn't want to continue playing for Hartford, because there were some things with the GMs and kind of the people, the leadership over there that I felt like was so, it didn't make sense to me. They kind of want to bring in a team for 1 year, then they want to get rid of that team, then they want to bring in a new team, then they want to get rid of that, then they want to bring in a new team. That was kind of how I saw how they were doing. Sure. There was no plan with where they wanted to go. The only idea was just they want to win the USL. But it's just so unrealistic when you just bring in a bunch of new players that never played together, and then you are like, we want to win the USL. Right. I understand the mindset, right? I understand that, like, let's compete for every game, but it's not realistic to win the USL if you're a brand new team, whatever. So I was just, there was a lot of things, so I wanted to get out of there. And in the meantime, me and my wife was doing our green card process, right, for me to stay here and kind of play and work and not be an international player anymore. But the green card was kind of keeping us from leaving the country. I couldn't go back to Denmark. Like, if you leave the country at this point, they kind of fold your green card process. But it also prohibits you from getting a job. So I can't get a job until I get my papers. Like, I can't get a job without my green card. So you basically just sitting in America for like 3-4 months not doing anything. You can't leave, you can't get a job, you can't get an appointment, you can't really do too much, right? But it kind of came right around end of February, beginning of March. And at this point, I'm a little bit frustrated with the whole process about this green card. I'm like, I need to get a team. People are starting preseasons, whatnot. I want to stay in America. And all of a sudden, I get this call from Neil Collins, and I don't remember a single thing that he said in the conversation. First, because of his Scottish accent over the phone was just, I had no idea what he said. All I could kind of figure out was that he wanted me for the team. And I was just like super happy about this. Obviously, I knew about Neil Collins and who he was. Obviously, also played in the USL, but obviously knew about his history in the game and all that. So super happy about that. And I signed the contract. I get into Tampa. I'm not even sure how many times we practice before everything actually shuts down. And it made it very hard for me to kind of get into the team at first, because now we are, instead of training in big groups, we are training in like groups of two and three, right? It was not a terrible thing to kind of slowly ease your way into a team, like getting to know a couple players at a time and then couple players here, a couple players there, but you never really had that feeling of everybody together. Outside of the field, I enjoyed it a lot because we lived 10 minutes on the beach. We were like off for, I don't know how long we were off for, like 2-3 weeks. And it was just biking to the beach, getting workouts in, and it was just paradise for me in some way, right? The sun is always shining. The weather is nice. But it was a very, very weird time for me because it was so like, what is going to happen? Like, are we going to play the season? I only signed for like 1 year. I was like hoping to come in here and just prove how good I am and kind of get some more on the table. So it was a weird season, but I think with the leadership, like I mentioned earlier, with Lee and Neil, they got the best out of that situation. They got absolutely the best out of that situation. So we were in very, very good hands, and they kind of scheduled our training sessions to be really, really nice, just with all the restrictions and whatnot. So it was a terrible time for obviously everybody, but it was for me personally, it was an okay time for me, honestly, to be by the beach and like kind of train by myself and all that. So
yeah. I imagine the stops in Oklahoma City, St. Louis, Hartford, not to be too presumptuous, I can't imagine there was as many great beaches as there are in the St. Louis clear water.
That's what we were saying, right? We were like, imagine being in St. Louis right now. Like like where we were living in St. Louis was, I didn't know anything about St. Louis. So sure. I just got a place somewhere, right? But I couldn't imagine that being so fun to just being sitting in your apartment at that time.
Yeah. Obviously, you had these four seasons with the Rowdies, 2022, 5 goals, 3 assists, your highest production season, but tons of great games in there. Like I think back to those early 2020s games, obviously continuing now, but you have all these like highlight games and you think of those games against Louisville, right? So many great memories from these early games or from these 2020 seasons. My favorite probably being that away conference final in Louisville 2020. My favorite memory, traveled to that one with my dad in the middle of COVID. So worth it. But Sebastian, can you give us like, I know it might be hard, 4 seasons of Rowdy soccer, 11 goals in the regular season in USL season. That goal against Oakland sticks out in my head. It was June. I can't remember. It was a June, but I can't remember what year it was. Just outside of the box, bottom of the
might
bar.
Be 21. No, is it? Yeah, it might be 22, wasn't it?
Yeah. No. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I can't remember either.
I can't remember the year, but it was against Oakland. And it was a June game. I remember it like yesterday. One of my favorite goals of your time here. Is there a goal? Is there a moment in the Rowdies that really sticks out to you that you look back on and is like, yeah, that moment was one of the things that really made it worth it playing down here in Tampa Bay with this Rowdy squad?
I mean, I scored, like you said, what was it, 11 goals for the Rowdies? It's not really that much, I think, for how many minutes I actually played. But I think my biggest issue, not issue, but the biggest thing about me was I never really scored tap-ins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I never really scored those easy goals.
Sure.
I kind of like, that's probably a longer discussion about why I didn't score those, but I used to kind of just, I scored a lot of like bangers and stuff like that when I was in Denmark as well. But I don't know. I just never really, I mean, I scored a lot of goals when I was younger as being a striker, kind of running into the box. But I think there was a lot of coaches that kind of like got my game kind of schooling me a little bit different in the way that I play nowadays. But yeah, I mean, the Oakland goal is just, to me, when I watch it back still, I still get a little bit of a goosebumps, you know, and just a little bit of like that feeling of like, wow, that was just, this is why we play the game, you know, like seeing things like that or like doing things like that. We want to see players do more of that. We want to see players dribble and take shots and all of that, right? And that's also the kind of feeling I have whenever I go watch the Rowdies nowadays. It's like the fans, they want to see people like get at people and like dribble and do some high intense actions and put some shots on goal and take some shots. I've scored some good goals. I mean, there's a goal in Atlanta too. It's like a half volley up to the top corner. There's a goal in Loudon where I wish there was like different camera angles and stuff that could really see the technique, you know what I mean? But yeah, I just got to live with what they had. But no, the Oakland goal to me is special also because I started to play on the wing and kind of with my back to the goal and kind of dribble my way in through the middle and take a couple of touches and just also to some of the other reactions from some of the players, like Jan, for example. Jan is like standing in the middle of the field. Jan is one of my really, really good friends and still is after he still lives here close to me and all that. But he's like standing in the middle of the field and I'm like dribbling in towards him. And he's just kind of like walking around. He's not even moving out of my way in some sort of way. He's just like walking around, just looking at me. And we talked about that after. And he was just like, yeah, I know when you're going in that speed, in that mood, I just got to leave you alone and let's let you do your thing. Right. There's like some other funny little interactions or reactions to the goal. But once I let that thing fly, it was just, it's a special moment. And I talked with Neil about that. He was also very, very excited about it. And it's like, I don't think I've seen a goal like this at Elang. And there were some wild reactions. So I think it will be hard to kind of top that one. I think it was a special.
Sure. That is understandable.
Yeah. I had to fact check myself here. If you want to go back, you're listening to this. This was September 3rd, 2021. If you're thinking, man, you can't remember that exact goal, go back, look at that, do yourself a favor. It was a good game, too.
Yeah. No, definitely. It was a very, very humid game, I remember. Because I remember my socks were soaked. And there's a photo in the locker room of after I scored the goal. And I'm doing my celebration with my hand up here. But my socks and my shin guards are literally hanging down by my ankles.
Yeah,
and I just remember like just looking at that photo looks so mad because it looks like I'm just wearing like tennis socks and no shin guards.
Yeah,
but I just remember how humid that game was. And that was definitely also something you had to get used to playing in Tampa.
That was wild.
That was very wild for me. Like getting used to that. I don't know if I'm even there yet. Like I don't think so.
That's awesome. I'm looking back now, and even that was a game that when Zadi got on the score sheet, Lucky and Kosana got on the score sheet. Just great names on the 2021 roster, James.
Legends of the game right there, man. I mean, legends of the USL, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
When Zadi, Lucky, and some of these players, Jan Ekra for sure. It's one of the players I was a little disappointed that the Rowdies wouldn't re-sign with a player like Jan, but they obviously have their own idea, their own visions, and their own plans, so.
I will say I have the 2023 stats. We didn't keep the actual stats book for RBLR in 2022, but in 2023, just between yourself, five Man of the Match awards, and Jan Ekra, three Man of the Match awards, it was a pretty good season. And I remember we were trying to start something of a Jan Ekra fan club specifically to RBLR Sports, but you know, it probably takes a little bit more than that. So we were on board with you.
Okay. Yeah. I got five. He got three. You said?
Yes. That was 2023.
That's important. That is important.
There you go.
You can rub that in next time you see him.
Oh yeah. No, I know he also went the coaching way. He's coaching up in Premier now. So we still keep in touch and we still share our ideas about the game and whatnot. So he's a great resource and a great friend of mine. So,
man, that has got to be pretty cool for the young players. Not that I should obviously say that my dad was a bad coach, but You have growing up, if your options are somebody who played professionally with the local soccer club, I mean, I can't imagine that there's probably no better inspiration for a youth player than something like that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's super nice for the players also to just kind of have like somebody that understands all of the different aspects of the game and not just like performance and scoring goals and stuff. I also understand like all of the struggles that you go through as a player, right? Like all of the stuff outside of the field. And maybe you come to a practice and you don't feel too motivated about this and that. Like I've been through all of it. Like I've been playing elite sports since I was like 17, right? Signed my first contract there, but also before that. So I totally understand all of these guys, their behaviors and their moods and their struggles, right? I understand it because I've been through it myself as a player, and I've had terrible coaches. I've had absolutely terrible coaches when I'm looking back at it, right? I've had coaches that kind of took my personality away from me,
right? Right.
How I wanted to play the game, right? Because it had to fit into a winning team or whatever. Like it was more about the points, or it's more about saving their ass. It was not so much about my development as a player, right?
Yeah.
So I totally understand it, and I don't think necessarily you're a better coach, but because you played, I think you maybe get that instant respect from the players that you kind of like, okay, this guy knows about it. But I also think that the players will quickly realize if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what you're doing. Like yeah, the players will realize that, right? So going into coaching has been a great experience, but it's also a lot of work. It has been so much work. And just I had no idea how much my coaches had to plan and figure out this and that and this and that out before each session. Because as a player, I just show up, I put my shin guards on. Obviously, I'm prepared before going onto the field. But other than that, you just like, okay, those are some good games we played today, or like those are some fun small-sided games, and this drill was a little funny, but I wonder why we did that. But obviously, being a coach now, you kind of understand what they had to go through and all of these thoughts and processes that they had to go through to kind of make us understand the game and play the way that we played. I think that's why we were so successful with the Rowdies, was because we had a coach like Neo that stayed from 8 to 5 every single day, treated it like a proper normal job. It was scouting every opposition we were playing, figuring out how can we hurt them, how can we play well. And it was just so engraved into our brains the way that we wanted to play. And I think that's what the fans also could see, right? They could see that there's a playing style, there's a proper playing style here. We can see exactly what they're trying to do. And I think it's just it makes the game more pleasant to watch, and it gives everybody a little bit more determination to kind of go out there and express yourself a little bit better.
That's yeah, I can definitely understand where you're coming from saying that. Carlos, I know you had a couple more questions here, but I just want to do one quick one before I turn it back over to you. Based off of what you said, Seb, that's kind of got my ring going here. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, there are a lot of stories about players making a big move, right? And it kind of, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What are the, when you move to a new place, and it might not even be as big a move as, say, moving from Denmark to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, which is a giant move. But what are the things that you have to get used to so that you can actually play well on the field? I imagine, first of all, it is literally down to weather. Oklahoma City has a very different environment. Florida, of course, has a very different environment. But what are the things that you have to get used to so that you can actually play up to your best level, possibly getting on with the player, your new teammates, understanding the coach and, you know, getting their playing style? What does all of that look like?
Yeah, I mean, it can be scary. It can be scary for a lot of people joining a new team, and especially if there's a team that's been together for a little bit. And that was how I felt with the Rowdies, right? They kept kind of the core of like Leo, Seba, and some of these Jan and whatnot that's been together for a couple of years before I came in. So they were kind of like grouped in together a little bit. But I think most importantly is just, especially the way that I've seen the game, is when you come into a new team or any new environment, you don't really have to be so. I didn't really seek out all of these connections with players in the beginning. I wasn't like coming over, I'm a good guy, we can be friends or whatever. Kind of just let my work ethic and my personality on the field kind of show who I was, right? I feel like sometimes the best way to get respect in a locker room is to show it on the field. Like if you are giving 110% every time you go on the field, if you're deciding games in practice or you're deciding games in the weekend, you're automatically going to get respect in the locker room. There's just no way about it. And there's so many different personalities in the locker room. Some people don't want to say a word, but when they go out on the field, they're very different. And some people, they are so loud in the locker room, and when they get on the field, they don't say anything, right? So there's a lot of different social things going around all the time. Yeah. But for me, it was just the easiest way for me to give respect with all of my peers is to show them how freaking good I am. I'm going to show every single one how freaking good I am on the ball, off the ball, everything that I'm doing. And slowly people are going to be like, wow, okay, you're incredible at this, or you're good at this, or you saved my ass on this play, or you made that run so I could shine, or whatever it is. And I think that's the easiest way to kind of get into a squad at any level. That's the, because you're there to play a game, but you're also there to compete, right? We don't just play the game against ourselves. We don't just practice and whatnot. We got to get out there and kind of compete against some teams. And if you show your teammates that you're ready to battle for them and you're ready to go with them into war or whatever it is, then slowly the respect comes, all of the connections, they're coming, all of the friendships, they're getting built over that. So that was kind of my way of seeing it. Every time I switched to a new team, and I've switched a lot. I played for, I don't know, 7-8 clubs during my career. I played with so many players, and there's so many people that I probably can't even remember if I saw them now, right? I wouldn't even be able to recognize them, or maybe I could recognize the face, but it's like, wow, that's like 10 years ago I played with you at some club. Yeah. And we might be really, really good friends at the time, but I've met so many people during my playing career. But it was always when I came in there, I was never the loudspeaker. I was never like, I've never been like some sort of like extrovert in that sense in a locker room. I always be like kind of kept to myself. I listen a lot to what people are saying, kind of figure out who they are. But for me, it was just, I'm going to show them how good I am and what type of person I am, because the way that I do it on the field is the way I do it in life in general. Like I work extremely hard for everything that I want to do. So that was kind of my philosophy about all of it. And if that can be a tip for anybody that is going to a new team or whatever, then I think that's the best way to do it.
There you go. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love hearing about the locker room dynamics, about what that's like just being a new team. That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing all the coaching updates. I think that's really cool for Rowdies fans who, players move on to a new club or they end their career. And I think a lot of folks think about, hey, I wonder what so-and-so is doing at this time. You know, so it's really cool to hear about what you're doing at IMG with the U16s. You said MLS Next Pro, right? MLS Next Pro? Or MLS Next, sorry. That's really cool.
Yeah, MLS Next. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it's been great. It's been so much fun. It's just like I'm figuring things out. Like I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to do after soccer. I just knew that soccer had taught me so many things about life and just like hard work, discipline, structure in my daily life and all of these things. And I think that's where people sometimes they forget that, yeah, you're a soccer player, right? It's not like you're not saving the world or you're not saving people's lives, but you're giving something back to the community in first place. But you're also learning a lot about like structure and discipline and hard work. And it's something that you can actually take on to the next anything that you're going to do. Yeah. I think it's very good for a lot of businesses to kind of hire some of these people that are like elite, that used to be in some sort of elite environment, because it teaches you a lot. It teaches you a lot about camaraderie and teamwork and hard work that I already covered. But that to me is the most important thing I take away from soccer nowadays. It's just those like personal like accolades that I have with that.
That's great. Well, Seb, Mr. 100 himself, I mean, you're part of a very small group of folks who played for the Rowdies for 100 games or more. Tell me, do you keep up with the team these days? Do you see what's going on with the club? If you do, what are your kind of impressions of maybe how the team did last season, just generally. Are you kind of excited about where they might be going next year?
I'm going to be excited for this year. I think I came to most of the games in the beginning of the season last year, just to kind of see what type of direction it was going. Obviously, to support the new coach and support some of the players that I played with before. Obviously, I have some good connections with some of the guys that are still there. It's always hard sometimes when you're looking from the outside compared to playing the game, right? Because when you're playing the game, it feels like it's 100 miles an hour. But when you're sitting on the side, sometimes you can be like, wow, is it really this slow? Or is it really, is really how it looks sometimes? Hmm. But I don't think they got better. I don't think they got better last year. I think it was a step back. But it's okay, because Neil Collins was a big personality. He was a very big personality for the club, for the recruiting, for just the whole energy around the club with the fan base and stuff. I feel like he was people loved him. Like, people really felt that they had a connection with Neil Collins when he was here. So it can be very, very tough for a coach to come in and kind of take over the rails there. And I think he's Scottish as well, but being a coach from outside and coming into the USL, I don't think that people really understand how hard it is to compete in the USL. Like, I don't know if you guys watched the game the other day with Arsenal against, who did they play in the cup? Not New United, the one before that. Do you guys remember that? They lost, didn't they?
My brain is stuck on the Man United game.
Did they draw? They draw. It was the first game of two. I can't remember who they played.
Forgetting. I'd have to go back and check.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But Mikel Arteta was mentioning that the ball was different.
Yes, that's right. You guys got a lot of stick for that. Yeah.
Right. The ball was different. It flies different. Like, when I came to the States and we started playing the USL, they had different balls, different places that we went to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you're playing on turf. All of a sudden, you're playing on grass. All of a sudden, you're playing on grass that is up above your knees or above your ankles, right? All of a sudden, you're playing on so many different surfaces all the time. The turf in Detroit is horrendous. It is horrendous. You don't feel like you're playing the same game as you are when you're playing at home. Playing on the turf in Loudoun is a very different turf than it is in Detroit. It's a very, very slow game all of a sudden, because every time the ball hits the ground, it stops because of all of that black car tire or whatever they have, like, ripped apart all over there.
Yeah, car tire. So, yeah, but it might as well be.
But it is. I'm pretty sure it is, like, old car tires that they kind of, like, split up and put onto the field. But to me, it's very, very, very hard to compete in this league. And you have the rowdies, you have an older team. Some of them played in Europe, some of them played there. So sometimes going to, like, Loudoun or Detroit and kind of motivating everybody to play can be tough. That's just the fact of it. So I think for Robbie kind of to come in the first season and trying to implement some of the things that he wanted to play, I think he had to make a lot of adjustments. I think he had to make a lot of adjustments just by the traveling schedule, playing different surfaces, playing different teams, and it's very physical in the USL in general. So I'm more excited to see what he does now in his second season, having a little bit more of a taste for it, and kind of getting some more players in that he maybe knows a little bit better, you know, maybe getting some other players from the USL teams that he maybe scouted and was like, wow, this guy can do a difference for our team. So I think this second season is going to be, it's going to be major for him, obviously for his career here in America, first and foremost. But I think it's going to be major for the Rowdies as well, because it's like, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go now after being on top for so many years? Are we just going to be kind of going down to being a mediocre team at some point and just being like one of those guys that just, like, in and out of the playoffs and or maybe just making playoffs like what almost happened this year? Like, to me, that would be such a shame. That would be such a shame for such a historic club with so much culture and so many bright people in there to kind of see that kind of downfall, because we still have a lot more to offer than a lot of the other teams have, or a lot of the other organizations have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just whatever is in the area here, and the culture and the fan base and the history, like I touched upon. But so I think this next season is gonna be very interesting for both the Rowdies and for Robbie as a coach. But I'm excited to follow. I'm very excited to follow.
That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that insight. Insight's really cool from a former Rowdies player, obviously having more of a taste of what the field is like, you know, having actually played on it, right?
It's something that you can't say it, right? You can't say it as a player. You can't be like complaining about this, because it's the same for everybody. It's the same for the other team. It's the same for us. It's just bad excuse if you're in the moment and you're like, yeah, but the field is terrible. It's a terrible excuse. Look at the Mikel Arteta talking about the ball. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Everybody played with that ball, right? Yeah. It's a bad excuse. But getting out of it, you can kind of start talking about how tough it actually is to play in the USL. And it's a tough league. It's a very, very tough league to play.
Absolutely.
Just a travel schedule. I mean, flying six hours to California. We're not flying charter. We're not flying private. We're flying normal, right? Yeah. Up at 5 a.m. to fly 2 connections over to California or whatever it is, right? And then we play a game the day after. So it's a crazy schedule, man. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. James, you have anything else? That's all. I mean, I'm fascinated. I could talk with you for hours. It's really interesting to me. I feel like we've already
anytime. I love playing. I love talking about soccer, and especially now when I'm a coach, it's just it's on my mind like 24/7. I sometimes just have to go out and get like a punching bag, or I have to play like a video game or something just to like stop thinking about soccer.
Yeah.
And especially now that I have my own team, I'm constantly thinking about how can I improve this player? How can I improve our team? How can I do this? It's very, very time consuming. But it's also just super nice to kind of just share ideas and talk to other people that are passionate about soccer. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, we obviously do appreciate having you on. Seb, if it's all right, I forgot, this is what we would usually do in an interview to end. At the end of it, we would go through a lightning round. So a couple of quick questions here, if that's all right for you. Who was your favorite team growing up?
Favorite team?
Yes.
Real Madrid. Okay. Zinedine Zidane was my biggest role model growing up. Right before that, it was Michael Laudrup, the Danish soccer player. He played for Barcelona and Real Madrid. Real Madrid has always been my team.
Gotcha. I was going to say, when you said Michael Laudrup, I think it was Brian Laudrup who played for Rangers, but my dad's from Scotland. So we have the Rangers connection there. So
Legendary player. Yeah. Legendary players, man. And Michael Laudrup was just such a joy to watch. And Brian was the exact same. Like they were just great guys. There was never any problems with them. They were just good guys, and they just showed exactly who they were on the field, like gave everything they had with their dribbling and all that. Just I don't know, there was just, it's so inspiring to watch these guys. A different time, but big legends of the game.
And my next question is, who is the best player that you've ever either played with or against? It could be with or against, but the best player that you've personally been on the field with.
Well, I had the joy of playing with Christian Eriksen both with and against, because we are from the same city. We're from the same city in Denmark, and we grew up playing youth soccer against each other all the way through the years. And I mean, he left to Ajax when he was maybe 16, 17. So I'll give you a different player for my professional career. But just in general, of like talent wise, I think I've never seen anything like it with Christian Eriksen, especially when he was a younger kid. It was so absurd, being good with left and right foot, and just like it was a totally different level of player that I've ever seen in a youth setting. That was Christian Eriksen. Professionally, I play with a lot of good players. There's obviously a lot of players in Denmark. I play with some legends of the game in Denmark and stuff. I don't know if you guys will know too much about it. So let me stick to the USL here. I would say probably a guy like Jan Ekra was, to me, probably one of the toughest players to go against in practice because of his physicality.
Mm.
I don't think people really understand how strong this guy was. Like, it's a brick house, right? And the way, and he's fast, and he can run with the ball, he can drive with the ball, and he was a smart player. Obviously, yes. Also got a really good schooling going, playing in England and playing in France and whatnot. But Jan Ekra was, to me, one of those players where if I'm in trouble, I can give the ball to Jan, and he will sort us out. He will kind of protect the ball and kind of distribute it from there. Obviously, Leo Fernandez was a really, really talented player. I think we didn't see probably his full potential until he got moved up to more of an attacking mid later mm-hmm. in his years. He was a fantastic wingback player before that and made a lot of assists and good goals. But I think when he kind of got brought up a little bit more as an attacking mid, I thought he kind of shined more in that way. But yeah, I think some of the other teams I played for was a lot of new players and different players in that setting. But for those 4 years that I played in the USL with the Rowdies, I think those two players kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
But especially Jan, because there was just something about the way that he played the game that I could just relate to it. The way he drove mm-hmm. with the ball. That's what I did when I was younger. The way he dribbled with the ball, all of these different things. And we just had a really, really good connection on the field. So. But don't tell him. Okay.
We'll keep that on the down low. But yeah, like I said, we did have the semi-real Jan Ekra fan club previously at RBLR. So from an outsider's perspective, we understand there.
Another guy with 100 appearances, by the way.
Yes,
I forgot to mention that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was so sad to see that the club never gave him a proper goodbye.
I did feel the same way. Yeah.
Like they made all of these TIFOs for me and for Connor and for some of these other players. And I was so grateful. And it was just the perfect way to kind of like, thank you guys. It's been an honor to play here. And I just felt like there was just a little bit of a, nobody knew where he was going. And now he's just gone from the team. And it was
right.
This guy has put in so much hard work for the team. And it's such a big part of the whole success of the club at this time. So to me, it was just a little bit. But I understand. It's a different leadership there now than it was, obviously, the majority of the years he played there. So whatever. That's just me being a good friend, I guess.
Gotcha. And my last two ones are very quick. I don't know what the food is like in Denmark. I don't know what immigrant communities you have here. I know what it's like here in Florida. So I just wanted to ask, where would you get better food probably on a day-to-day basis, Florida or Denmark?
Denmark.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I
think also because of some of the regulations around food in Europe is a little bit more strict than in America.
Gotcha.
But we have a very big population of Turkish and Middle Eastern people in general. So we get some of the best food in the world, like Turkish food, like shawarmas, kebabs, and all that. It is just, oh my God, it is just, that's something that I miss the most because there's a couple of places here and there that kind of make it, but to me, I don't know if it's this, it just never really felt the same. And every time I go home, that's one of the first restaurants I go to. It's like a kebab or a shawarma or something like that, where you can just really get those. It's such a different flavor and spice than anything else, right? Like it's just, it hits really, really good. But in general, I don't know if you guys would like Danish food. I don't think anybody would really. A lot of like fish and stuff like that. So I don't know. Yeah.
All right, my last one then is, what is your cheat day food when you were working out and making sure that your diet was regulated up to the team? What did you go for when you had a cheat day?
There's so many options here in America, isn't it? Are you talking about in America or are you talking about in Denmark?
Whatever's your favorite. If it is kebab, then that's your favorite.
Yeah, I actually think it was kebabs in Denmark. It was like that would be my cheat day, like just going down there because they are also a little bit fatty and stuff. But I think in America we just like all that stuff, like the wings, the burgers and stuff. We sometimes just order all of it, you know, and it's so good. And I love it because it's like they know how to make that stuff over here, and you just can't get it the right way anywhere else, really. Like, you go to Denmark and trying to get wings, or you're trying to get like something like some of that fast food stuff, it's so like skinny, fat free, this and that, you know, like, come on, give us the real deal. So that's anything like that, I'm all about it sometimes.
Yeah,
but I gotta be careful with that, with those nowadays. Now I'm not playing anymore, you know.
So, it catches up, not
as many anymore. It sure does.
But yeah, thanks. I think that will do it for all of our questions. Carlos and I are super happy to have you on, and we'll absolutely have you back anytime that you will join us, and we can get more into your coaching career, your philosophy there, and all that stuff. But super, super appreciative that you were able to join us. Thank you so much.
Definitely. And if anything, we can have another talk maybe halfway through the season, and we can kind of talk about how things are going with the new with Robbie in general, or the squad and all of that. That could be interesting.
Right. I'm gonna write that down on our doc so that we can revisit that.
That could be great. That could be fun.
Appreciate it, Ted. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Well, Carlos, now that we are out of the interview, I believe that was one of the better ones that we probably had with a former Rowdy.
That's great, James. I mean, this was a good chat. It's great to hear the perspective on the team, like among the various things we talked about, right? Coaching career, his time with the Rowdies, his time in the USL, his career, took him from Denmark to the United States, just everything he had to talk about. I think one of the coolest things to talk about is the current Rowdies, the present Rowdies, and what that looks like to a former Rowdy, right? A recent former Rowdy in his case, who just finished his playing career just over a year ago, just 2 years ago now. It's really, really cool to have someone who can kind of speak a bit more freely now that he's out of the game in the player sense, and talk about the club and where they're at now. So I'm really, really excited. He's already teasing this potential reconnection on the pod halfway through the season.
We'll
set up a time to chat with him and see how the team's looking at that point. We'll catch up on his coaching career at that point, see if he's won any cups to talk about. Great conversation with Sebastian Dalgaard. Truly, truly a silent killer on the field that apparently can give a good conversation on the podcast, James.
Yep, and that's not always the case. So I am so overjoyed that Sebastian Dalgaard was not the example of that. He came on and he had a great answer for everything. And not that it's usually been a bad interview to have any of the former Rowdies on that we have spoken with, but you always, when you haven't spoken with somebody in this type of format, you're not sure exactly how forthcoming they're going to be. And he was as forthcoming as you can get, probably. Absolutely. We appreciate that, and we appreciate him coming on. Segment 4, extra time, really quickly. We will have the Hot Wings Challenge for our producer Eureka in the future. Eureka is just taking the time to try and set it up exactly the way that he wanted before we can get that going. So as soon as it is actually set up, we will have a date for you, and then we will actually get that teasing so that people know when they can watch Eureka burn his mouth off. Please stay tuned for that. And of course, you can stay tuned by following us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere you are at RBLR Sports. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, but help us out by going over there. Of course, if you would like, you can follow me on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach out to Carlos at
CarlosTPA10. CarlosTPA10. Did I say that right? Oh my goodness, I'm so tired. On Twitter or X, or whatever you want to call it. I'm there. Georgetown basketball, Bucks football, sadly, not going to be much to talk about for the next few months, but follow me. We'll talk about Rowdies very, very soon, even more.
There we go. Like and subscribe to all of our, to our podcast, where you can get all of our individual podcasts, or you can get the full experience on YouTube. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you are. We'll see you soon. I'm on you, Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, Please remember to like and subscribe.